Do you have any idea what a Christian preacher should do when he is preaching in the gospel in a community? A Christian preacher is not free when he goes into any particular community or anywhere to say what he wants to, what he might want to say, or to do as he pleases. A person who is teaching a Sunday school class is not free to just teach anything that seems good to them. A man who is preaching from the pulpit, he may be ever so honest about his own ideas, but he is not free to bring his own ideas into that pulpit. The Christian witness, the Christian preacher, has a gospel. There is a message that he is to deliver, and he is to deliver it faithfully. And this is what we find when we study in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, especially when we're watching what happened to Paul, the great apostle. We're reading in chapter 26, and if you have your Bibles with you and we'll open them at chapter 26, we'll turn to verse 19. And at this point in the story, we have the apostle Paul standing in court before King Agrippa, and he has been accused of disturbing the peace in Jerusalem. He's been accused of doing wrong and of being a traitor and a seditionist. He denies the accusation. He denies he's done anything that's been wrong or been improper in any way. But while he is there, he then confesses what the situation actually is. And he, in the course of his testimony given in chapter 26, he has told about his own conversion, how he came to meet the Lord Jesus Christ person to person on the road to Damascus, and how subsequently his heart was opened and he came to understand that the Lord Jesus Christ actually was God, and he put his trust in him. And then he was given to understand by the Lord Jesus that he was to be a minister, and he was to go out and do the things that a minister was to do. Now we're going to start reading at verse 19. And if you're in the reading with me, turn to the book of Acts, chapter 26, verse 19, and listen to the Apostle Paul when he says, "Wherefore, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision." Now, the heavenly vision is a vision that comes from heaven. When he speaks the term the heavenly vision, doesn't mean it's so nice, doesn't mean it's so pretty. It means the origin of this vision is from heaven. And he says, "I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision." He says, "When I was preaching, I obeyed what I was told. I did what I was told to do by the messenger from the Lord himself." So this is what he did in verse 20. "Showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea and then to the Gentiles that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance." That was his speech. That was what he said everywhere and anywhere he went, that they should repent and turn to God, and do works meet for repentance. This is the way he described his life. By the way, when the apostle is speaking here in chapter 26, he is not speaking as a young man making plans. He is not someone saying, "When I go out to preach, this is what I'm going to do." And then perhaps it would be like that, and maybe it would be different. This is the way in which he preached at the end, the way in which he spoke at the end of his ministry. He has already been preaching for many, many years. And when he sums it all up in court, this is the way he puts it. "I was not disobedient, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea and then to the Gentiles that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance." That was his message. Now notice that word, that they should repent. Of course, a good many people will think right away that means you should be sorry for your sin. Well, I expect that's always good, and doubtless your sins are something to be sorry for. But I don't think that's the full meaning and the only meaning of this word repentance. I think this meaning of the word repentance is that you should consider yourself to be a weak sinner. You should look on yourself as a wrongdoer. You should look on yourself as someone who has done wrong and is subject to the judgment of God. To repent is to actually judge oneself as unfit so far as God is concerned. So you see, it follows very naturally to say that they should repent and turn to God. Because when a man loses confidence in himself, he may then open his heart to confidence in God. And so we read that he preached and he showed that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. Now that is actually show that they really mean it when they repent. In other words, if I am going to repent because we'll say I am irritable or impatient, and I've been impatient about something, and now I repent, this doesn't mean I'm sorry for my impatience. It means I admit my impatience. In the presence of God, I just admit that I'm not what I ought to be. And I turn to God for help. I call upon Him to help me. And do works meet for repentance means I will actually demonstrate in myself some meekness and quietness and patience that I didn't have before. And this is what Paul did. But he had a specific task. He was going to try and get them out. And so this is actually what he did. That they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. So that Paul himself, when he preached, urged the people to act according to their faith and according to how they felt about things. If they felt themselves to be sinners and they turned to God, then they should act in some way of repudiating their sin. They should act to go away from their sin and do other things, do good and do right. If a person was, for instance, bringing up the whole matter, we'll say, of the worship of God, and a man was to say to himself, I do not worship God as much as I should. So he repents. That is to say, he says, I'm a secular-minded person. I'm thinking about the world all the time. I never think about God. I never think about heaven. I never think about my relationship with God, and it's wrong. That's repentance. Turn to God, turn his face toward God, and do works meet for repentance. Come to church. Read the Bible. Pray. Get on your knees. That would be works that are in line with the repentance you have about the worship of God, as the case may be. This is what he did. And he preached to people that they should judge themselves as unfit, turn to God, and then actually take steps about these things that they're unfit about. Do works that are meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. It was because this was so different from the kind of religion that was being preached and taught among the Jews that they were opposed to him, and they undertook to kill him. Verse 22 we read, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, because by the grace of God he hadn't have the strength to defend himself, and yet God watched over him and kept him. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than Moses, which the Moses and the prophets did say should come. That's an interesting thing, too, for people who wonder about preaching, whether you shouldn't bring in something new, whether you shouldn't, you say, well, that's what they've always said. Well, brother, if what they're preaching is what they've always preached, there's a good chance that it's true. And if what they're preaching is what no one else has ever preached before, it's a good chance it's not true. Just keep that in mind, because after all, these Christians have lived before. And this man, saying none other things than those which Moses and the prophets did say should come. And here they are in verse 23, that Christ should suffer, that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. This is what he preached. And here again, about those things, I expect there wouldn't be so much difference. I expect, actually, when you look at those, many people would say it was right. But just pause and ask yourself this question. Is this what you think a preacher ought to preach? Will you be satisfied if he preaches this? Will you be satisfied that he is doing what he should be doing if this is what he spends his time at? If he does preach these things, this is what Paul said ought to be done. That Christ should suffer, that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. This is what he had preached. And as he thus spake for himself, the whole testimony given in Acts 26, as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. Now, in our ordinary language, when we say that much learning doth make thee mad, we're accustomed to it. Very few people really know what that actually means. And what this actually means is that Festus said, Paul, you are beside yourself. You have extreme. You've gone beyond the boundaries of good judgment. Much learning doth make thee mad. You've got so much education, you've gone crazy. That's what he said to him. Much learning doth make thee mad. You've just got so much education, it's all jumbled up in your mind. No one can go by you now. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom I also speak freely. After all, King Agrippa understood many of these things. For I am persuaded that none of these things were hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. And so we have Paul's testimony, the way in which he has set it out as to what he actually did while he was preaching. And you and I can learn something from that. Not so much that we will be able to criticize preachers as we can understand our own attitude about these things. Many of us would certainly want to be thought of as Christian people. And we would certainly think that if the children in our home, we would like to teach them the truth. I expect there's not a single Christian person that would not like to teach the children in the home the elements of the Christian gospel. Well, do you know what they are? You have them right here in what I've been talking about. It isn't a matter of morals. That counts, but it isn't a matter of morals. It's to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ, that he's actually alive, and that the Lord Jesus Christ actually will open the eyes of the blind, that is, in their own inward spiritual understanding, and he will turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, and he will forgive their sins. He'll do this when they repent and turn to God, and do works that are meet for repentance. This is the thing that he is going to do, and this is what should be we should expect. And this is what the ministry is. This is what preaching is. This is what we want to support. If you have a preacher like this, pray for him. And if you have a preacher that's not like this, pray that he will see this. What the preacher is to do is to get up and show the people and tell the people how that God will receive him if he comes humbly to him, in and through the Lord Jesus Christ, and coming to him that way, that God will save him. These things come out in what we have just been studying. Our God and Heavenly Father, add thy blessing to us, especially as we witness in this world, and keep us faithful to the truth, that others might know it and be saved. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.